Welcome back, everyone. We're here for the Get in Visual Studio section, what you've all been waiting for. And we're going to talk about Get in Visual Studio. Now, I know that we've actually gone through
a lot of
stuff. So let's hit Get in Visual Studio. And we walked through a lot of Visual Studio stuff already. To be honest, we want you to get the idea of what Git is from the command line. Why? Because all of those things are important. When we get to words like sync in Visual Studio, it kind of throws people off. And we talked about this earlier. Plus, there's things that you just absolutely cannot do once you're inside of Visual Studio. You can't rebase. You can't change your history. You can't squash. These aren't that big of a deal in a lot of cases. Only for certain subsets of people do they really care. If you need to go back and modify some of your history, or you really, you know, kind of blew everything up and now it's you've kind of broken your Git, if you're going to go back and change that, you're going to need to do that at the command line or at a different UI that lets you do everything that Git does. But having said that, Visual Studio provides this very easy interface so that you don't have the opportunity to break your Git. You can't change your history and check in corrupted stuff. It just takes you along a nice happy path where you can do most of the stuff that you need to do to get your job done. And I think that's an important differentiation between the two. Understanding Git is important because you get this idea of what branches are, but when you flip over and you start looking at your actual day-to-day usage of Git, well, frankly, coming back to what James and I do, we communicate with Git as a way to just pass files back and forth and to collaborate. I very rarely go through there and like really clean up and make my history look nice because, frankly, I don't go back and look at my history that often.
Yeah.
It's not something that I spend a lot of time doing. I spend more of my time moving forward in my code and kind of in the other things I do with Git.
Yep.
So Visual Studio integration, we can create a team project and then with Git, and I'm going to walk through that whole process. We can manage changes, branches, and commits right from the IDE.
Mm-hmm.
To create a new team project, if you're in Team Foundation Server in VSO. Now, I guess I should say here, I'm going to be talking about VSO, and
yes.
I'm going to be talking about TFS, because they're part of the Visual Studio family of tools. And if you have an MSDN subscription, you have full access to those, including free storage in VSO up in the cloud. You can start throwing stuff up in VSO today and create a Git repo and put things up there. And frankly, why not use it?
Yeah.
You know, it's a great place to put things. So if you have access to that, by all means, use it. In fact, even if you don't have an MSDN subscription, you can still get a free VSO account, and up to 5 users, you get some, it's got good stuff. So anyway, let's come back to the slides again. If we take a look at this create a new team project, we create a new team project, but look at the bottom. There's a place here that says version control Git. The default is Team Foundation version control. Make sure you swap that out and say Git. Whatever process template you want to use, that's on you. Feel free to use whatever process template you like. Once you've done that, you can connect to your Git repo. And in this case, it says git example, home git example. This is connected to TFS or VSO. Somebody asked, hey, can I connect this to Atlassian or Bitbucket? Right, Atlassian's Bitbucket.
GitHub.
Yeah. Or some of these others. And the answer is absolutely. It treats it a little bit differently.
Yep.
You know, you don't get the kind of this deep integration here where you see some of the stuff, but you can see all of the local work and the local changes that you get. But
essentially, you get all of what you see there, minus work items, builds, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? The VSO integration stuff with work items and whatnot.
That's perfect. Mm-hmm. That's a perfect way to put it. Mm-hmm. So here we are. We've got that. Local repositories. You've got all of your local Git repos. Now, this is where you might put an Atlassian repo, or a Bitbucket, Atlassian Bitbucket repo, or you might put a GitHub repo.
Mm-hmm.
You just, right down here, it might be a GitHub migration repo, might be a local one that's pointing out to GitHub.
Mm-hmm.
It's just out on GitHub, and it's connected to GitHub, so you get all of the nice things. But this part here, where it says enter the URL of a Git repo to clone, you've got to type in the GitHub repo.
Mm-hmm.
But you go to GitHub, it's got a button there, you click it, and you Control-C, Control-V, and you're in.
Yep.
It's not that difficult. You get all the capabilities of Git baked right in, with the exception of, you saw when I went and looked at unsynced changes, it told me that what was ahead and behind and stuff. That's an integration thing that you get with VSO and TFS, because it understands those intimately. But it allows me to clone repositories. It allows me to manage all of my local repositories. And then when I need to, I can do a push up to origin. Default settings, I've already shown you this. Here they all are. You can see the global settings here where you enter your username, email address, default repo location. Mm-hmm. I like C colon git. Or something small.
Yeah, I don't like long paths.
Yeah.
Another thing to note here, too, is that if you don't configure your username or email from the command line, or even if you don't install Git, if you just go into Visual Studio and you try to commit something, it'll say, you need to fill these out first.
Yeah.
Right? So it'll help you out, and you don't even have to drop to the command line to do any configuration.
No, not at all. Yeah. In fact, you don't even have to have the command line installed.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned that earlier, it's baked into Visual Studio itself. And you know what? I want to tell a story. Let me come back and talk a little bit about this. A while back, when Microsoft was looking to bring in Git into Team Foundation Server and into Visual Studio, they started working with the libgit2 repository and the libgit2 sharp repository, those are open source repositories hosted on GitHub, and on that location, the people were starting to make changes. Now, libgit2 is the binaries behind the command line, if you will. That's probably an oversimplification, but it's the binaries that support Git. And rather than do the command line version and then just call the command line, Visual Studio takes libgit2 and uses it. Now, this is the interesting thing, is Microsoft began contributing to libgit2. And they started contributing quite a bit, in fact. In fact, some of the features that they were contributing, some of their competitors pulled out and started using before Microsoft even exposed the fact that they were working with integrating Git. Mm-hmm. And I had a tweet a while back on my Twitter feed to talk about Martin Woodward, who's a Microsoft employee that was contributing to it. And he has kind of a funny contribution that he did. I won't reference it here. Anyway, he went out and cleaned up some swear words that were in the Git repo so that it would be more Microsoft friendly if they're going to ship it in the product. And one of the things, I tweeted it out, and he responded to the tweet and said, I'm surprised that no one noticed what we were doing. They were out there fussing around with making all these contributions to libgit2, and then not publicly saying they were working with Git, and then so that they could release it. And it was just interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting to see that. Libgit2 was also contributed to by Linus Torvalds. So who would have thought, if you were here 5 years ago, who would have ever guessed that code that Linus Torvalds wrote would be shipping inside of a Microsoft product like Visual Studio? But it does, right? So anyway, it's open source, right?
Yeah.
And pulled in and shipping in there. And I have to throw one more thing out there before I go. And I know, one more soapbox.
Do it.
Or one more story.
Go for it.
We were moving some repositories from another version control system into TFS. And we were deciding, do we do Git in TFS or do we do Team Foundation version control? And this was a very large repository. It was a 4 gig tip. This is not history. This is just the tip of the code was 4 gigabytes. That's a pretty big repo. A Git kind of chokes on those kind of repos, especially because it was filled with a lot of jar files and binaries and things like that. So anyway, moved all those things into Git. And unfortunately, when we type Git status or Git branch, those commands were taking, when Git started, about 20 minutes. That's too long, obviously, right? Git status, and you wait 20 minutes. It got faster and faster and faster at the command line. But what was absolutely shocking is a completely unacceptable performance from the command line was completely acceptable once we started working in Visual Studio. We opened it up in Visual Studio and did the status there and all of those things. Blazingly fast in comparison. It took a couple seconds, but a couple seconds to 5 minutes is a big, big difference.
Yep.
That's just one data point. But man, Microsoft did some pretty good optimizations, at least from where I'm looking, at the speed and the usability of Git at kind of bigger projects. Mm-hmm. All right, Let's head back to the slides. That's enough rant. That's enough stories for now. As we hop back in, we can edit all of those things. You can edit your gitignore file and your attributes file. The changes, we've already seen this. The changes just appear. There is no git status. It's all just there, right? Mm-hmm. You want to ignore files, you just slap them in the ignore thing, and it figures out changing the gitignore file for you. It's just nice.
And there's no real form of staging anymore. You don't stage files and then commit those staged files, or there's no files that are not staged to be committed, right? There's just included or non-excluded. Yeah. Easy as that, right?
It is.
Simplifies it.
It simplifies it greatly. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft has really taken the approach. And there's pros and cons, and there's definitely negatives.
Yeah.
But they've taken the approach of what would make Git easy to use just out of the get-go if you don't know the Git innards. Mm-hmm. Now, we want to show you the Git innards because I think it makes it powerful. And we've shown you only, it's just scratched the surface of the Git innards.
Yeah.
But things like rebasing and whatnot. But understanding those things makes you a better Git user, even if you're in Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to Visual Studio. Here we have the included changes. You can exclude them just by dragging them down and dropping. You can do lots of things like that. We also have incoming and outgoing commits, so we can look at what's synced up to our VSO or TFS. What haven't we pushed up? I actually haven't tried this with GitHub, and I don't know if it would show up here and as a remote that's not pushed. I know it probably doesn't integrate very well, integrate perfectly, but it would be worth a trial.
Yeah.
Especially since someone asked specifically about Bitbucket. Sync incoming and outgoing commits, fetch and pull, push, or sync. Most of the time, there's a big old button there called sync. That's what you use. Mm-hmm. You click it, it does a fetch, you merge your...
It merges it.
It merges it, you do your push.
And it pushes it.
And it pushes it. Yeah. So fetch, merge, push. Kind of just does that whole thing. Just says, get me in sync with what's on the server. And for the vast majority of what you need, that's a common usage scenario. Branches, you take branches just like anything else. You walk up and you hit new branch. Boom. Type in the branch name, you've got a branch. Double-click branches to switch between them. You saw me doing that with my silly Hello World app, and it just, there was the form, it had the third button, and the third button was gone. Just like that, very easy. You can create those branches, merge branches right from there. Again, a little bit different way of doing it. We think of in Team Foundation version control, merging from dev to main. Mm-hmm. So you want a same sort of a thing where you have dev on the left, main on the right. We ran into that. One of those little things that's a little bit different than how you might do it in Git. You can view the entire history of the branch, double-click on any of these, dive into it. I love those little dots that appear next to it. Mm-hmm. By the way, dots are new, right? Yep. Do you see the dots here? No dots on these. This screenshot.
Also note, though, that there's also the master branch pointing to one of the commits there. So you can also see where the branches, what commit the branches are pointing to.
That's a good point.
Yep.
That's a really good point. What you don't get on the visualization here, which has been a criticism of the Visual Studio implementation, is you don't get that tree view structure where you can see kind of all of the different
paths
that you're going. So you still end up going to Git K or using a different tool to kind of see that type of history.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go into a demo. And on the demo, I want to cover a little bit broader ground. I want to make sure we cover TFS and VSO. And I'm going to be using Visual Studio Online as my example. And then I'm also going to come back and we'll be talking Visual Studio. So let's move over to this. And, do I take a quick break? I'm starting a demo on Visual Studio, but I have just a moment. I want to show you some potentially usable hacks, if you will. I'm a fan of having a clean desktop. I like to have a clean desktop,
yes.
But I also pack a bunch of crud on my desktop. I drag files onto my desktop continually. If I showed you my actual desktop, I mentioned earlier we couldn't remote into our own machine, so we spun up ones in Azure that we could use. And so I'm in a cleaner one that you won't see nearly as much history.
He literally has folders inside a folder just called clean desktop, where he's cleaned the desktop, put it into the clean desktop folder multiple times.
Yes, so I have a hierarchy of clean desktop. It's kind of a mess until Git.
Yeah.
Right? Because now, look at this. I'm in my original branch here. And if you take a look here, Git original, if I do a Git status, I got a nice clean working directory. But if I do a something like Git checkout Git, this Git is the training, the label I built. I'm switching to that branch, and notice what pops up on the side. Boom, here's my desktop. All of those things, those files and whatnot, are now just, they appear. Mm-hmm. I don't have PowerPoint installed on this machine, so they don't get the nice icons. But you can see how easy and how quickly it is to work with that. So whenever I do a Git training on my local one, I just say, you know, Git checkout Git, and boom, there it is. All my Git training stuff is there, and everything else is gone. Everything else is missing, right? And then when I'm done, right, Git checkout clean, right? Get me back to my clean desktop, for crying out loud. And boom, the stuff goes away. Meanwhile, right, Git push origin, and you store your desktop and all your stuff in a repo in TFS mm-hmm. or in VSO.
Yeah.
So you've got a place to like keep some of that stuff, that hangers on, right? Which is comfortable. I actually could, I suppose, go map and get my entire desktop onto this machine. I bet I could do that.
You probably could.
I totally did, but I could go get my original desktop with all its history and all of its messiness and pull it right onto this machine.
Yep.
Thought for later. Anyway, Git lets you do stuff like that because it's modifying the file system. Mm-hmm. You saw all of those things. Again, I'll come right there, Git checkout Git, and sure enough, boom, they all appear on the left, right on my space here. Your recycle bin sits in there. I don't know if it fills back up again if you check it out. I'm not sure about that. But in any case, why recycle things when you can just stash them,
yeah.
Which we can talk about later. Anyway, off to Visual Studio. Here we've got our repos, and we've done a lot of our demos already. So yeah. I don't think we need to dive in a massive amount to some of these demos because we spent a lot of time going into Visual Studio. But let's talk about some of the areas here. So here we are on our area, and we have three areas that are geared towards Git. Changes, branches, unsynced commits. Changes, and you can think of them as getting progressively bigger. Changes are, hey, what's happened locally? Nothing's happened locally lately. So we can go from changes and say, well, what branches am I working with? Well, I've got foo and I've got master. Okay, I've got two mm-hmm. ones. And this foo branch is, by the way, published, so it's a tracking branch.
Yep.
We could use the word tracking branch. They use the word published here. Mm-hmm. The same sort of thing. And then I can say...
Actually, if you go back and hover over it, it actually brings up a tooltip and says tracked branch, origin slash foo.
Absolutely. <Boom. laughs>
Tells you what commit it's on,
yep.
The author, and the date.
That's nice. That's nice. It tells you exactly where you're at. So let's go back from branches then. We can go to unsynced commits. And this just says, all right, what hasn't gone to the server yet?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, we added this French button, and we added the French language support. It's right here. It's an outgoing commit. It's something that's waiting to go to the server but hasn't yet gone to the server.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, it integrates with my live ID. There's my smiling face right there. And you got to kind of have that integration. So if we want to, we can go and make changes on the server, and we can fetch those changes. Now there's initiating a fetch. There's nothing to fetch.
Yep.
I've just worked on it. If I wanted to pull, it would be the same thing. But if I sync, I can push or sync. Sync, again, push just simply does the same thing that Git would do. So they leave these things in here for people who are more comfortable with the Git terminology, mm-hmm. which, by the way, these are ads. These are relatively recent ads.
Yep.
These didn't come right off the get-go. So I think it's some of the feedback. They said for people who are comfortable with Git, we'd like to use that terminology. But we still have this one, sync. And sync, notice syncing, pulling the current branch, initiating fetch, and then everything moves so fast I can't see it. But it tells me successfully synchronized incoming and outgoing commits.
Mm-hmm.
So I've made that synchronization directly to there.
And going to changes there, too.
Yeah, changes.
Which isn't a menu item. Or there should be a, you should be able to look at commits, previous commits.
History?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I can go over to my... master branch, and I can view history from here and see my history at this point.
Yeah.
And I can view my history, of course, in my foo branch as well. And there's the little thing right there, the foo branch.
Mm-hmm. Another pointer.
Awesome. Another pointer, yeah.
Yep.
So here we have it. We've been pushing up to Visual Studio Online.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the next component of the Visual Studio piece. And that component really is, what do we have up in the cloud? Where do we put this thing? Because, frankly, Git as a version control system locally is fun for things like cleaning off your desktop. right? Mm-hmm. You can clean your desktop, you can add stuff, create a new branch. You know, you're good with those sorts of things. Where it falls over is you know, you drop your laptop and it breaks, right? It's a local version control. You have to push it somewhere. Mm-hmm. Whether that's just some place to store it or whatnot. And our place that we can put it, there's a lot of them. Bitbucket was mentioned, several others, but I'm going to push it out to the nwcadence.visualstudio.com, and I'm going to go right to my MVA Git folder. And all I did was I went to Visual Studio Online and I created a new project. Mm-hmm. Create a new project. I don't know if it's worth signing. I mean, we could literally sign up for a brand new Visual Studio Online, create a Git repo, and walk through it in no time at all. It's really, really fast. But we can say just, I want a new project. Project name, FooGit. Off we go. Make sure we change this from Team Foundation version control to Git and create a project. Yep. Boom. That's it. I'm not going to do that. Because.
Yep. And by default, it just creates a Git repo called Git. Or the
name of it.
The name of the project.
So the name of the project, MVA Git, if we go back to MVA Git again and we look at the code, we're going to find out that here is the repos we have is MVA Git is the default repo. Mm-hmm. A word about Visual Studio 2012.
Yeah.
Visual Studio 2012 has a Git piece that you can use. You can download, it's called the Git provider for Visual Studio. Pull it on down, run it. It only allows you to connect to the one named MVA-Git. You can't connect. Oh, that's not true. You can connect.
Yeah, but you don't get the same integration that you would normally see with connecting to a VSO project, right? You don't get the work items, the builds, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it misses those, unless it's called MVA-Git.
Yes.
If it's called the name of the team project, you get the integration.
Yep.
Otherwise, it treats it pretty much like it would treat something from GitHub or another Git provider. It's just there, and you can use it, but you don't get all that nice integration. Mm-hmm. So here we are at MVA Git. We can switch between the repos, and I'm going to manage a repository here. And James showed you some of that managing the repository as well. I'm going to go back and say I need a new repo. And here's where we can put those repos. This might be my desktop repo.
Yep.
For lack of a better one, right? There's my desktop repo. And at this point, I have one called desktop. I'm here. I can do some security around it as well.
Yep.
Now I want to talk. We're on VSO, so let's differentiate Visual Studio from Visual Studio Online.
Yep.
Or Team Foundation Server. Mm-hmm. I am now in Visual Studio Online or Team Foundation Server, and while I'm here, I have a true Git repo. I want to stress that this is not a Git repo that's something like. You know, Microsoft may have done in the past or took Java and made a change and made it a .NET language or those sorts of things. This isn't that type of a thing. This is a Git repo.
Yep.
But it's an enterprise Git repo. They've taken and done some things to it to make it more powerful, just like GitHub does and just like Bitbucket does. They extend it to provide things like security and backup and restore. Mm-hmm. And what Microsoft has done is it's taken the backing store for this and pulled it off of a file system and put it into a database. So when you back up your TFS database, whoosh, it just goes with it. You've got all your Git repos are backed up with it. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to go through anything crazy or funky.
Yep.
So they've really streamlined that. In addition, they provided a lot of access control here.
Yeah.
There's a great blog post by Brian Harry that kind of talks about, here's the enterprise-y features that mm-hmm. we have on our Git server. So I can go in and say, who's a contributor? And if I came into my Git repo and I took you out of the contributor section and the project administrator section, and I only put you in readers, if you did a Git clone, you'd be able to pull it down. But when you did a Git remote-v for verbose, you would see only one line, and it would be the pull or the fetch. You could do the fetch, but you wouldn't see the permission to do the push. Mm-hmm. And that would be one way that you can prevent people from checking in. But you can allow people to contribute.
Yep. Or if you want to have like a master repository, or the blessed repository.
The blessed repository.
You can make that a read-only to people that are non-integration managers or dictators, as we'll see in a little bit.
We'll see dictators, lieutenants,
Mod. And basically, they can all pull new changes that everyone's contributed to, but they can't personally push new changes out to that repository.
Right.
Yeah.
So we've got some security we can do. We can set some options. Do you want to show Gravatar images for people outside your organization? It'll go out to Gravatar and grab those. Automatically create links for work items mentioned in a commit comment. This is important because one of the powers of Visual Studio Online and one of the things that makes TFS so powerful is that we have that end-to-end view of everything, and we have totally ignored linking our check-ins with our work items. Mm-hmm. But let's go ahead and start doing things like that. And to do that, okay, wait, first let me finish this. This is my Git repos. I've created my Git repo.
One more thing, too, is that there's also permissions at the branch level.
Yes.
So just you won't see it there, but on something else, yes, there.
Yeah, I can go and I can grant permission on the foo,
yep,
but not on master.
Yep.
And why I would want to do that is everyone contributes to foo, and I, the dictator, choose to merge into master. Mm-hmm. So very powerful. Yep. Ways to do that. So here we go. We're in version control. We've seen some of the access control. You can get pretty granular, just like in Team Foundation version control. Let's go back to our Hello World repository. Here's our Hello World repository. And let's go do a little bit of work. But before we do work, I want to go over here to my work tab, look at my backlog, and I got nothing. Okay. Yep. So let me create a new backlog item. I'm going to create a new product backlog item. I'm using the Scrum template. We'll just go with that. And the product backlog item might be support. Oh, my goodness. Do you know any languages I can use? I burned up my three for Hello World.
You took French, the only one I knew.
Barry, we got anything back there?
I can speak some Thai.
Some Thai? Oh, I don't know if I'll be able to type it. What about Leet? Can we do Leet speak or something like
pirate?
That? Pirate. Pirate. Arr. Love it. Support.
Pirate language.
Support pirate language. Yeah, okay.
Dialect.
Dialect. It's more of a dialect. So support pirate. We might put in a few others here like support Thai. Support. Oh,
that's a good
pig
one.
Latin. Thanks very much, Barry. Support pig Latin. We got a couple of these in here. Now we could decompose these into tasks, and we can do all of those things.
Oh, guy says Hebrew.
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 did he paste something I could copy? Wait, I'm gonna have a hard time typing that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have a hard time typing that. Do you mind writing this down? This is product backlog item 2012.
2012.
Yeah, 2012. We're just going to keep that in our mind. 2012, 2013, and 2014.
Yep.
When we're making our connections. So that just kind of gives us an idea because I want to do a link two different ways. I want to do it the official way if you've got good Visual Studio integration.
Yep.
And I want to do it the way that you could do it from the command line.
Yep.
As well.
Totally.
So and support pig Latin is of course the next one, 2014. So let's go back to Visual Studio now. And start supporting some of these languages. Okay, let's go do some of that work. So I'm going to go back over here. And if I go back to my Solution Explorer, I'll see some of the stuff I have. And if I go back to Team Explorer, I can go back to see things like work items. What work items do we have going on in here? And I can run a query. I can see some work items. My current sprint, I've got some work in progress. Now that's going to give me my tasks. I don't have any feedback in it. Good grief. Do I actually have to build a query? Give me a new query. All work items, right? So this is going to be my work item. All work items. So there's my query. There's all my work items. Support the pirate language, Thai, etc. So great. From here, we can go back, of course, unsync commits. We've got our languages. Let's go back actually to our Solution Explorer and do some work. Open up Form 1 again. Going to expand it out a bit. Copy the French one. Drop it there. Look at its properties. Again, this is just the part that is silly. Pirate. double click. Message box, whoops, message box dot show, and pirate language.
What?
I suppose, good day, matey, something like that. Who knows? Well, there it is. Hello, world in piratey. Oh my goodness. All right, let's go ahead and save that. We've made some changes, and we want to go and commit this in. So we can right click here, just like we do anywhere else, and go to commit. Let's click commit. And here we are, here's our changes. By the way, if we wanted to exclude some changes, we can just drag it down to excluded. And we could even say, you know what, forever exclude these files. Just untrack these files. It's already tracked, we'd have to do some magic. Yeah. But if we had some untracked ones, we could add them. I'm gonna wanna track everything. So here's all of my included changes. Note my related work items, okay? I've got a query, all work items. I want 2012, I want support piratey language. Let's drag and drop it here. That's what we're working on.
Yep.
So we just drop it over here. There's nothing special. We're just going to drag and drop that piece over here. Let's get some of these cleaned up. And commit. Added support for pirate.
Add.
Oh, thank you. I almost went with added. Add support for. Now, why would I use add? Why not added?
So the reason why we don't want to put future or past tense in our commits is that when we're looking through history, looking at add rather than adding or added, it doesn't really make sense. It makes a lot more sense if you just say this commit was to add this functionality, not adding this functionality or added this functionality.
And especially if I'm merging, right? Yeah. If I'm the one responsible for your changes, you send me the thing, and if it says, you know, clean up profanity. Mm-hmm. I say, oh, when I apply this change, what it does is clean up profanity.
Yep.
If you say cleaned up profanity, you're like, well, that's past. I'm merging it in, right? This is the change I want to impose. Yep. That was, by the way, the one Martin Woodward committed. One of them. All right. So here we are. Let's commit this. And it's committed. And here it is. This commit was created locally. If we want to, now we've got a change that's local. Let's go take a look at our branches. We see our branches. We're working on master, updated less than a minute ago. We can view history. Added support for pirate. That's where I'm at. I can go back into unsynced commits, which is the same as going to unsynced commits here. Mm-hmm. Take a look at unsynced commits, and you'll see that added support for pirate is down here, which we've seen before. And we can
notice something that it added to the comment when you hover above that.
Yes, it's worth showing the comment. And here it is. Added support for pirate related work items, colon, 2012.
No, pound 2012.
Pound 2012. That pound 2012 is what did that relationship. Mm-hmm. I can right click this, view any commit details that I want, see more information about it, copy the commit ID. There's some things you can do as you spelunk around in here. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to unsynced commits. And sync it. Again, I'm going to use sync because, frankly, I'm okay with just syncing. Mm-hmm. It's a very easy way to do it. Purists will tell you, no, we'll get fetch, do this, do that. Yeah, you sync. It'll raise any conflicts and it'll just kind of let you know. And you deal with them in Visual Studio just like you've dealt with them before in Subversion, in T Foundation version control, and every other version control system. Mm-hmm. It handles that for you. All right, there we are. We can also look at actions. We can open things up in the File Explorer or command prompt here. We've got our commit. It's pushed up there. Now, let's add Pig Latin. We're going to do one more. And again, we'll do this. We'll try to do this quickly. We grab Pirate. Let's stretch it out a little bit. Thanks for that idea. What a great idea to start going off on some of the other ones. Property is Pig Latin. For those of you who aren't inside the United States, Pig Latin is commonly a language that children learn where they just kind of do some spelling replacements and add the word A or the sound A at the end of things. So igpe atenle would be Pig Latin. The first consonant moves to the end and you add an A. Whatever. Who would have thought you'd be learning all about Pig Latin? So in Pig Latin, wait a minute. It also is a programming language, absolutely. A Pig Latin still—it's bringing me right to my button click here. What's it called? Did I do a complete copy of this thing? Well, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to take any chances. I'm going to grab a button. Yeah, I'm going to grab a button and drop it back over here. Stretch it back out. I'm going to go this way. Here we go. and message box dot show. Oh man, now I gotta do it.
Elohe.
Elohe.
Orldway.
Yeah, Orldway.
Orldway.
Elohe, Orldway. Oh man, good grief. There we go. Added the changes back to our form design. Get some properties in here. Again, this kind of stuff is just silly, but big Latin. There we go. Save everything. Back here, we've got a change. Again, right from here, let's go to commit. And from commit, let's add a message. Add pig Latin. Notice I don't have any related work items here. And this is what I want to show you differently. In fact, I'm going to show you one more. I'm not even going to check in from the command line from here. I'm going to go to the command line. Let me go to the command line. So we pulled this down to hello world, and I've got it right down here. CD backslash, CD get. Was it hello world? Yep. Look, I've got two changes right here. This is kept in perfect sync.
Yep.
With TFS, so or with Visual Studio. In fact, changes I make here are going to be reflected almost immediately back on the other side. Let me shrink this down so we can actually see it. Here's our included changes. If I do git commit dash am add pig Latin and enter.
Do you want to put the work item?
Thank you. Added pig Latin and the work item. You can use any prefix here. Was 1204, right?
It's 2013.
2014.
Or 2014.
I think it was 2. Yeah.
The one important thing to remember about these commits is that if you want to tie a work item to it, you have to put a pound, just the pound character right before the ID of the work item.
Yep.
And when you commit it and push it out, VSO TFS is going to pick that up and relate that commit to the work item ID that you've chosen.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So here I am, git commit, big Latin, work item 2014, enter it. There I am. I went, my master turned from blue to green, which means I am now ahead of master. So notice over here in my window, Team Explorer, the changes, poof. They just, it was almost instantaneous. They moved away from, this keeps it so up to date. So if I go back and I look now at my branches, I'll see my master and I can look at my history of master and notice add pig Latin work item 2104 mm-hmm. is right there. That's what is establishing that linkage now between 2104. And just to prove it, I think it's worth proving.
Go ahead and push it.
I've got to push it first. You're right. But wait, there's more. Unsynced commits. There's my outgoing commit. Here's my PowerShell. How about that?
Perfect. I'll do it again. You have the newest version.
Boom, my outgoing commit just disappears.
Disappears.
It's no longer an unsynced commit. These are kept in just perfect harmony. If I would have done the commit here in Team Explorer on this side, this would have turned green on my next one. It would have shown, blue, it would have shown me that it had been synced. They just stay in perfect harmony. It's really nice. Mm-hmm. That's it. Those are committed. Those are all there. You know what? I entered something that I want to show people. I entered Stephen Borg with my password. I did not enter stephen.borg@nwcadence, mm-hmm. which is my full email address.
Yep.
So there's my Team Explorer. Let's go back and show a couple more things in Visual Studio Online. But would you remind me to come back and show the alternate
IDs?
Okay, thanks. So out here, we've got support pirate language. And if I open up that one, and I can look at my links, and you can see I've got a commit associated with this. So that commit really did just appear right there. I can double click it, and I can see exactly what I added.
Mm-hmm. And at the top of that commit, you can see the associated work item, too.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, there's the associated work item right here, authored by Steve Borg. There's the work item.
Just down one.
Oh, right there, rather. And there's the product backlog item. I can click it and go back to it.
Yep.
All right. And it's not currently assigned to anybody, but I've been working on it. Okay, backlog items. again, just to prove it out to you, let's go out to support Pig Latin. And when we look at the links, we see that's the commit ID.
Yep.
And that's a really nice way to start establishing that full traceability.
Yep.
Definitely like to do that because I can see this product backlog item. Now, let me talk about what's better with Git than what you get inside of Team Foundation version control. Just briefly before we get to the other thing. If you do a whole bunch of commits inside of Team Foundation version control, and during those commits, you're linking them up to the dev branch. You know, you're in the dev branch, you're working in the dev branch, you do all these linkings to all of the work items you've been working on, and that's change set 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then you merge up to main. When you do that merge, it's change set 6. All of the linkages are lost. Whereas in Git, when you merge, you're just taking all of those historical changes, unless you squash or something like that, but you're taking all of those commits. Each one of those commits makes its way up and down branches. Everything goes with it. So you never lose the traceability when you merge between branches. This, to me, is really nice.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy to lose. You know, I move to main, and I move to prod, or I merge with a traditional branching structure in Team Foundation version control, and I lose everything. I do it in Git, and Team Foundation server keeps all my traceability across all of my branches. And that's cool. I think that's a real strong reason to use Git.
Yep.
All right. Now, back to here. Let's pop over to my settings here?
Nope. Click your name.
There it is. Yep. Click my name. Go down to my profile, and one of the things that you need to do is you need to set up some secondary credentials. Mm-hmm. It's an easier way, and this secondary credentials, basically it's just a username password that you set up that you can pass to TFS to say, hey, I want to log in, not with my live ID, but with something else.
Yep.
And that's easier for systems like Git or other things to cache.
Yeah.
It's good for services and those sorts of things. You can always come in and disable those alternate credentials if you want. But I did want to show you that was available to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here we have our product backlog items. I should have really reprioritized Pig Latin above it. Yeah, but again, that's a different story. This is the Visual Studio Online power that you get with VSO. But here we are back in. We've added support for Pig Latin. We've stayed in here a little bit. One of the things that I want to talk about is how do you get something from another location pulled down and moved to Team Foundation server or VSO.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that as a question. I want to very quickly address that. I know we're running a little lower on time. Let me do that by coming here to my PowerShell. Here is my Hello World. Let me go back to users, Steve, desktop, and I've got my desktop here.
Yep.
And if I want to take this desktop and I want to push that desktop up, maybe Git Checkout Master, and I want to push that up. If I was pulling from a different origin,
mm-hmm.
I need to add a remote here. So let's say I was working with something. You know what? I could.
You want me to just add a repo?
You could add a repo, but I can add a repo right here. Watch this, everyone. Git clone C:\. Can I do that? Can I do it this way?
It's file.
Is it file colon? Do I have to do the file colon or is it smart?
I don't know.
I'm going to try it without. Desktop. I want to clone my desktop into one called D2. Done. CDD2. Boom. Now, CDD2, if I look at Git remote-v, you'll see its origin is pointing to another one. So this would be just exactly like I pulled this from GitHub, I pulled it from Bitbucket, I pulled it from a different VSO, I pulled it from CodePlex, I pulled it from my file system.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled it from somebody else's file system, whatever you want. There it is, D2, master, I'm good. Now I want to take D2. So I've pulled it down from my other origin, pulled it down. Now I want to push this up to my repo in the sky. So let's push it up there. And to do so, I'm going to use the same way that James did, which is to go back to my code on VSO and select the desktop And here we have it, clone the empty repository. I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna push this now and move it here. Take that, add that remote. But this time, change the word origin. VSO. Boom. If I do a git
push
remote, and you'll see now I've got VSO and I've got permissions. Now let's do git push. Well, git
push dash u.
Dash u dash dash all.
And you need to specify the thing.
Yeah, how about that?
VSO.
VSO.
Dash dash all.
Dash dash all.
And again.
And once again. How it was working for me before, and now it's back to me. So by the way, this is, somebody on the comments brought up a great thing. This is the wrong version. I've got the latest version of the Git credential WinStore. I need to go back a version. James went back a version and it works like a
We're
champ.
Totally fine.
For me, I'm just going to be typing things in. There we go. Try it twice. There it is. It's up. Everything's pushed. If we go back out now to Visual Studio Online and refresh the page, you'll see that we now have my desktop.ini, which was the only thing I had in that particular
branch.
In that particular branch. If we go over and take a look at some of the other branches, well, I've only pushed the master, didn't I?
Yep.
Yeah, I only pushed the master because I was on master. Need to go in and push some of the others, push git, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But that's how you move things from one place to another.
Yep.
So it just gets pushed up, and off we go. All right.
Yeah.
It's time to break out of that. I want to have one final word, I think, on Visual Studio. So it might pay to kind of go back to the main monitor. If we're looking at Visual Studio and VSO, as a repository, they are extremely good, powerful repositories. Visual Studio, as a Git piece and as a Git tool, has some of the limitations that you might find you need to work around every now and again. I'll be honest, if I'm working outside of Visual Studio, like I'm just working in, I'm on my desktop or something, I'm going to do a Git check-in, I don't open up Visual Studio in order to do a check-in. By any stretch. You just go right to the command line, you do the check-in, check-out right there. If I'm working with Python or IronPython, if I'm not in Visual Studio, but I kind of am now all the time because
yeah.
The Python tools from Visual Studio rock. But anyway, before they rocked, when I was in a different one, I'd do it right from the command line. So you're not going to open up Visual Studio to do just check-in and check-out. But when you're in it and you're working in it anyway, man, it's just so easy, so fast, I just leave it there. So that's Visual Studio. I'd like to wrap the session. We're going to come back in. Were there any questions that you got before we wrap?
Nothing. Most of the section is quiet.
Okay, this section was quiet. Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it, and we're going to come back after this and talk about some more in-depth stuff about Visual Studio, about Git. Again, we'll be stepping out of Visual Studio at that point and doing things like cherry picking.
Well, and we also have the workflows too.
Oh, workflows. You're right. We'll be doing workflows first.
Yep.
All right. We'll see you all in 10 minutes.